Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, Chapter 78, The Killing of Dantavakra and Ramaharsha. Text number 16.
Evam
yoga
Ishvara
Krishna
Bhagavan
Jagat
Ishvara
Idvite
Pashu
Drishtinam Nirjita
Jayati
Iti
Sa-hi
Sa-sa
Evam
Yogeshvara Krishna
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Idrite Pashu Drishtinam
Idrite Pashu Drishtinam
Nijito jayeti tisa
Nijito jayeti tisa
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Nijite Pashu Drishtinam
Nijite Pashu Drishtinam
Nijito jayeti tisa
Nijito jayeti tisa
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Iyate Pashu Drishtinam
Iyate Pashu Drishtinam
Nirjito Jayati Iti Sa
Nirjito Jayati Iti Sa
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Bhagavan
Jagadishvara Idite Pashu Drishtinam Nirjito Jayati Tisa
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Iyate Pashu Drishtinam
Idite Pashu Drishtinam
Nirjito Jayati Tisa
Nirjito Jayati Tisa
Ladies.
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna.
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna.
Bhagavan
Jagadishvara. Idite Pashu Drishtinam. Nirjito Jayati Tisa.
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna.
Evam Yogeshvara Krishna. Bhagavan Jagadishvara Idite Pashu Drishtinam Nirjito Jayati Tisa
Evam
Yogeshvara Krishna
Bhagavan Jagadishvara
Idite Pashu Drishtinam Nirjito Jayati Tisa
Evam.
In this fashion,
yoga,
of
mystic yoga,
Ishvara,
the Lord,
Krishna,
Krishna,
Bhagavan,
Personality of Godhead,
Jagat,
of the universe,
Ishvara,
the Lord,
Ijite,
seems,
Pashu,
like animals,
Drishtinam,
to those who sight,
Nijita,
defeated,
Jayati,
is victorious,
Iti,
as if,
Saha,
he. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Oh, actually, it's not by Prabhupada, it's by Prabhupada's disciples. Thus, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all mystic power, and the Lord of the universe, is ever victorious. Only those of beastly vision think He sometimes suffers defeat. Please repeat. Thus, Lord Krishna.
Thus, Lord Krishna.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Master of all mystic power.
And the Lord of the universe.
And the Lord of the universe.
Is ever victorious.
Is ever victorious.
Only those of beastly vision. Thinks He sometimes suffers defeat. So who can repeat? Oh, that's right there. Okay. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives the following elaborate commentary on this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Concerning the killing of Dantavakra, the Uttarakhanda 279 of the Padma Purana contains further details in the following prose passage. It's a long prose passage. Then, hearing that Shishupal had been killed, Dandavakra went to Mathura to fight against Krishna. When Krishna, however, heard of this, he mounted his chariot and went to Mathura. Between the two of them, Dandavakra and Lord Vasudev, there then began a battle at the gate of Mathura that lasted all day and night. Finally, Lord Krishna struck Dandavakra with his club, at which point Dandavakra fell lifeless to the ground, all his limbs smashed like a mountain shattered by a lightning bolt. Dandavakra achieved the liberation of gaining a form equal to the Lord's, and thus he also achieved the Lord's eternal supreme abode, attainable by perfect yogis, which bestows the happiness of everlasting spiritual bliss. So what did I just read? What's that?
The purport or the verse?
Well, I think the purport is written there. The verse is written, so it's probably easy to read the purport.
All of that way.
What's that? Okay. Okay.
That's Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God and the Master of all mystic power, the Lord of the universe, is ever victorious, and only those with beastly vision think that He sometimes defeated. Close, very close. Last time I got totally wrong, I looked at the ball.
Okay, so that's good. So who can say what was in the purport so far? Who is it talking about? Who is Krishna fighting against? Dantavakra. Okay. So what was the first commentary by the first sentence of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura's commentary? Yeah, that's pretty close, but hearing Dantavakra went to Mathura. So after hearing that Shishupala had been killed, and Dantavakra went to Mathura and...
Then the battle was day and night.
What's that?
And then the battle at the gate of Mathura were day and night?
Yes. Now this chariot... Well, first Dantavakra, hearing that Shishupala had been killed, went to Mathura, and then Krishna went there. He mounted his chariot and went there. And between the two of them, Dantavakra and Lord Krishna, then a terrible battle at the gate of Mathura that lasted all day and night. And what happened after that?
Finally, Krishna smashed
Dandavakra. Yeah. That's good. What else?
And yet he embraced it.
Yeah, what happened to Danta Bhakra after Krishna's club hit him?
His soul went into Krishna.
He didn't have to die first. Finally, at which point Danta Bhakra fell lifeless to the ground, all his limbs were smashed like a mountain, shattered by a lightning bolt. Danta Bhakra achieved the liberation, gaining a form equal to the Lord, and thus he achieved the Lord's eternal supreme abode. And who else attains the Lord's supreme abode? Who?
The yogis.
The yogis. What kind of yogis? Just any yogi? The bhakti yogis. Only the bhaktis. Yeah. By the perfect yogis, which bestows happiness. What kind of happiness? Transcendental. Well, that's a pretty good guess. Everlasting spiritual bliss. So now we have Shishupal had been killed, and Dandavakra mounts his chariot, goes to Mathura, and then Krishna, hearing that Dandavakra had mounted his chariot and went to the gate of Mathura, he also mounted his chariot and went to the gate of Mathura. And there ensued a fight between Dandavakra and Krishna that lasted all day and night. Finally, Krishna took his club and smashed the chest of Dandavakra. He fell lifeless to the ground, just like a mountain being smashed to pieces by a thunderbolt. And Dandavakra achieved the same kind of liberation that the perfect yogis achieve, a life in the Vaikuntha of complete eternal bliss. And then, so it was that Jayanti Jai, apparently because of being cursed by Sanaka and his brothers, but actually to facilitate the Lord's pastimes, Supreme Lord's pastimes, descended to this world, material world, and three consecutive lifetimes were killed by the Lord himself. Then at the completion of these three lifetimes, they attained liberation. So why do they mention that? Why is Vishwanath Bhagavati Thakur mentioning this? What was the first lifetime of Jayanti Jai in the material world? And the second lifetime? And the third? That's right. Seems a little doubtful, the last one, but that's what it is. So, in this way, Krishna liberated them back from the spiritual world. But did they come again? When did they come? What's that? Yeah, Madan Jagat. But in that lifetime, they were given, not only they were liberated, but they were given Krishna Prema. Therefore, they became completely eligible to go back to the spiritual world. In this passage of the Padma Purana, the words Krishna's tu touched Trutva, when Krishna heard of this, indicate that the Lord heard from Narada, who travels as swiftly as the mind, that Dandavakra had gone to Mathura. Therefore, immediately after killing Shalva, without first entering Dwarka, the Lord entered the vicinity of Mathura in a single moment on his chariot, which also moves as swiftly as the mind. There he saw Dandavakra. Thus it is that even today, by the gate of Mathura, facing the direction of Dwarka, there is a village known in the vernacular as Daitiha, a name derived from the Sanskrit Dantavakraha, killer of Dantavakra. The village was founded by Krishna's great grandson, Viraj. And after killing him, Krishna crossed the Jamuna. After killing him, Vidurata, who is Vidurata? Anyone know Vidarata? Anyone ever read Krishna book? Vidarata was Dandavakra's brother. After Dandavakra was killed by Krishna, Vidarata, armed only with a club and his great anger, came to fight against Krishna. And Krishna immediately cut off his head with his Sudarshan chakra. He didn't. And what did Krishna do after he killed Vidarata? What's that? Yes, he crossed the Damuna and went to the village, coward village of Nanda, where he honored and consoled his aggrieved parents. They drenched him with tears and embraced him, and then the Lord offered obeisances to the elder coward men and gratified all the residents with abundant gifts of clothing, ornaments, and so on. Lord Keshava continuously sported continuously with the cowherd women on the Kalindi's charming bank. Where is the Kalindi? What river is the Kalindi? What's that? Jamuna, yes. Which was filled with pious trees. What kind of trees? Yeah, Kandamba, Kalpavriksha trees. Yeah. All kinds of Kalpavriksha trees. Thus the Supreme Lord, assuming the appearance of the cowherd, resided there for 2 months, enjoying the pleasure of intimate pastimes and various moods of loving reciprocation. Then by Lord Vasudeva's grace, Nanda and all the other residents of that place, together with their children and wives, assumed their eternal spiritual forms, boarded a celestial airplane, and ascended to the supreme Vaikuntha planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Krishna, however, after bestowing on Nanda Gopa and all the other inhabitants of Braj his own transcendental abode, which is free of all disease, traveled through the sky and returned to Dwarka as demigods chanted his prayers. So what after Krishna gave the Nanda, what did Krishna do to the residents of Vrindavan?
Sent,
and then what did he do?
He flew back to Dwarka.
Yeah, he went back to Dwarka. Srila Rupa Goswami comments as follows on this passage in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita 1:488-89. Since Drona and all of the demigods had previously descended to earth to merge his partial expansions into the king of Braja and other devotees of Vrindavan, at this time it was these demigods' expansions whom Krishna sent off to Vaikuntha. Lord Hari is perpetually enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan with his intimate devotees, the residents of Gokula, who are dearer to him than even his most dear other devotees. So what happened here according to this, according to Rupa Goswami's Lagu Bhagavatamrita?
Extensions of the demigods were sent back to Godhead.
That's right. And what happened to the residents of Vrindavan? They disappeared. Goloka Vrindavan. What's the difference between Gokula Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan? Are you sure? Yeah. Yeah, so what happened to the residents of Gokula Vrindavan after the demigods left? They kind of felt bad and they just kind of disappeared. You just read it. No, only the resident, the demigod portions went to the spiritual world. And what about like Drona and Dara? And what about the ones Krishna, as it says here, the Lord is perpetually enjoying pastimes in Vrindavan with his intimate devotees, the residents of Gokula, who are dearer to him than even his most dear other devotees. So what happened to the residents of Gokula? Where are they now? What's that?
Enjoying pastimes.
Yeah, they're still there enjoying pastimes. A little inconceivable, isn't it? In the passage of Padma Purana, the word putra in the phrase Nanda Gopadaya Sarvajana Putra Dharadi Sahita. Nanda Gopa and the others, together with their children and wives, refers to such sons as Krishna, Sridhama, and Subal, while the word Dara refers to such wives as Sri Jasoda and Kirtida, the mother of Radharani. The phrase Sarvajana, all the people, refers to everyone living in the district of Raj. Thus they all went to the topmost Vaikuntha planet, Goloka. The phrase Divya Rupa Dara indicates that in Goloka they engage in pastimes appropriate to demigods, not those suited to humans as in Gokula. Just as during Lord Ramachandra's incarnation, the residents of Ayodhya were transported to Vaikuntha in their self-same bodies, so in this incarnation of Krishna, the residents abroad attain to Goloka in theirs. So many things are going on here. That there's the pastimes in Gokula are different from the pastimes in Goloka in some ways. Just like in Gokula, there are demons such as Kaliya. And Krishna dances on Kali's hood. But in Goloka, Kali is also there. But Kaliya, he's not a demon, he's a devotee there. And there Krishna rides, he gets on his hoods with the gopis, and Kaliya rides him around the Jamuna. Similarly, Keshi is a demon here, but in Goloka, Keshi is a devotee. And Krishna rides Keshi around Vrindavan as one of his horses. So the demons are also in Goloka, but they're not demons, they're all devotees. But there are demons, there is something about demons in Goloka. Does anyone know what's going on with the demons in Goloka? There's rumors about demons. There's no demons, but there are rumors that there are demons. Just like the gopis in Goloka Vrindavan, there are no husbands, but they think they have husbands. And here they apparently have husbands, but it even gets more complicated than that. According to our acharyas, there are different sets of gopis. And the gopis that Krishna danced with didn't have any husbands. Lots to think about. Of course, we're supposed to be self-realized by the time we read this, the 10th canto, so. If we're not completely understanding, it's only because we're not completely self-realized now. The Lord Krishna's journey from Dwarka to Vraj, it's confirmed by the following passage of Srimad Bhagavatam. 1.11.9. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapura to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. Lord Krishna had been harboring the desire to see his friends and relatives in Braj ever since Lord Baladev had gone there. But his mother, father, and other elders in Dwarka had refused to give him permission. Now, however, after killing of Shalva, when Krishna heard from Nanda or from Narada that Dandavakra had gone to Mathura, no one could object to the Lord's going there immediately without first entering Dwarka. And after killing Dantavakra, he would have the opportunity to meet with his friends and relatives living in Braj. But I thought Krishna never leaves Braj. How can he go back to some place he never left? What's that? There's expansion. What expansion? I mean, there's expansion left. So why would he go back? Yes, that's right. Yeah, so internally the residents of Vrindavan were constantly meditating upon Lord Krishna and his apricot lila, that is unmanifested pastimes, and externally they appear to be separated. So here Krishna in his manifested pastimes goes back, and although they're never really separated, but now it appears that there's a reunion. In other words, the resident Vrindavan were enjoying separation from Krishna, and now they're also enjoying meeting Krishna. But in any case, they're never really separated. They only appear to be separated. Thinking like this, and also remembering Uddhava's allusion to the gopis in the words Gayanti te vishada karma, he went to Vraj, dispelling the feelings of separation of the inhabitants. For 2 months, Lord Krishna enjoyed in Vrindavan just as before, previous to his leaving there to kill Kamsa in Mathura. Then at the time of 2 months, he withdrew his Vraj pastimes from mundane eyes by taking the demigod fortunes of his parents and other relatives and friends to Vaikuntha. So what did I just read? We'll read it again. For 2 months, Lord Krishna enjoyed in Vrindavan just as before, previous to his leaving there to kill Kamsa Mathura. Then at the end of 2 months, he withdrew his Braja pastimes from mundane eyes by taking the demigod portions of his parents and other relatives and friends to Vaikuntha. So how do we understand this?
His father just lives in the same house, demigods.
Yes.
Demigods incarnated on Sriraj Dhanabhumi to help, you know, destroy the demons. And they were able to put on ashram for Krishna. And that aspect of that ill was wound up, so they went back to spiritual world.
No. In other words, we have the internal activities of the residents of Vrindavan going on, pastimes. Then we have the manifested pastimes. So the manifested pastimes apparently were made by the demigod portions, while the eternal lila of Krishna is going on with his ever liberated souls is nitya lila, so nitya. The Nitya, what is that? Nitya Bhada and Nitya Siddha. His Nitya Siddha devotees, apparently that goes on in the apricot pastime. What's that? Why they're mentioned? Well, Drona and Dara had previously been Prishni and Sutapa. And before that, they were Kasyapa and Aditi. So at that time, they were used as the vehicle by which Krishna incarnated, as first as, well, as, well, it wasn't Varaha. Kasyapa had, and Aditi had Vamanadeva, and then Prishni Garbha incarnated from Prishni and Sutapa. And Drona and Dara had Krishna. But they're demigods.
What is meant with the past,
Well, the pastimes were being manifested by the demigod portions. And they went back to Vaikuntha. But the unmanifested pastimes that were going on, that eternally go on, still went on. Thus, in one complete plenary manifestation, he went to Goloka and the spiritual world. In another, he remained perpetually enjoying Braj while invisible to the material eyes. And in another, he mounted his chariot and returned alone to Dwarka. So Krishna is quite expert. He stayed in Braj, he went to Goloka, and he went to Dwarka, all at the same time. It would be hard for us to do that. But if Krishna wants, we can learn how to do that too. It may take a little while. We have a few other things to learn first. The people of Sarasena province thought that after killing Dantavakra, Krishna had paid a visit to his parents and other dear ones and now was returning to Dwarka. People of Braj, on the other hand, could not understand where he had suddenly disappeared to, so they were totally astonished. Furthermore, Shukadev considered that Pariksha Maharaj might think, how is it that the same Krishna who caused the cowards to attain Vaikuntha and their self-same bodies also caused the residents of Dwarka to attain such an inauspicious condition in the course of his Malsala Leela? Thus the king might consider the arrangement unfair because of his own affinity for the Yadus. That is why Shukadeva Goswami did not allow to hear this pastime, which is mentioned above and is related in the Uddhava Kanda of Sri Padma Purana. So why is it it's not in the Srimad Bhagavatam? We have to find it in the Padma Purana, this pastime. Why? Well, what is it? Why would that be disturbing? Because he had infinity for the Yadus.
I don't understand it, but it says that
the Malsala Leela. That's when Krishna, the club. Malsala means the club. So what was the Leela with the club? Anyone know the club Leela?
Yes.
Yeah.
He killed Dantavakra.
What's that?
Dantavakra was killed.
No. The Leela with the club is when the Yadu members dress themselves up as a pregnant lady. Samba dressed himself up as a pregnant lady and then went to the Narada and the other sages and asked them what kind of child would this beautiful lady have. So the sages apparently became angry and cursed the sons of Yadu that this woman will give birth to a club and will destroy the Yadu dynasty. And then the sons of Krishna went to King Ugrasena and said, we've been cursed that this club is supposed to destroy us. So King Ugrasena had the club ground up into little pieces and then thrown into the ocean. And what happened to the little pieces of the club that were thrown into the ocean? They washed under the shore and they grew up as reeds.
And then they got drunk and killed each other.
The reeds?
No.
What's that?
There was one piece which is a bit bigger got eaten by a fish.
Right. Yeah, one hunter got it. And who was the hunter?
The one who was killed by Ram. In Ram Leela.
Is that right?
I think so. I'm just
guessing. Who's that? Yes.
I think it was Jaram. He made he was an arrow out of it, and then he shot Krishna in the foot by
Ram. Seemingly shot him in the foot. But,
yes.
But who was he in his previous life?
Vrijamuni.
Who?
Vrijamuni,
right. Because it was the fence of kicking Lord Vishnu in the chest. He had to take birth as a hunter. And he can go and apologize to Krishna. Because in the pastime of Vrijamuni, he went into Vaikuntha Svetadvip in this world, went up to the Lord Vishnu and kicked him in the chest. And Krishna immediately got down from his bed and begged forgiveness from Vrijamuni because he was afraid that my chest is so hard, like a thunderbolt, and your foot is so soft like a lotus flower, so I may have done you some harm when you kicked me in the chest. So then he took his foot in his hand and started to massage Bhriga Muni's foot, hoping that he didn't hurt it. So Bhriga Muni was so shocked by the whole thing that he tried to get out of there as soon as possible, because he had committed a great offense against Lord Vishnu, for which reason it says that all the Brahmins are now poor. And he went back and told the sages that actually Lord Vishnu was the greatest because he's the most tolerant. Not only did not he become disturbed, but he made sure I wasn't even disturbed. So he had no opportunity to apologize. So now, after apparently shooting Krishna in the foot with that arrow, he could go before Lord Krishna and apologize. But it's not really that he really shot him in the foot. But unless it said that he did something like that, then it wouldn't be as an exciting pastime. So then the Moshala Leela is the part where the Yadu dynasty, they went to... Oh, Krishna manifested some inauspicious things in Dwarka, which can't really, inauspicious omens. And therefore he told all the residents of Dwarka, especially the men, that they should immediately go to the place of pilgrimage and do some sacrifices there. What was the name of the place of pilgrimage? Anyone remember? What's that? Prabhasa Kshetra, yeah. And there, they performed the sacrifice, and part of the sacrifice, they offered rice wine. They took the rice wine and became intoxicated. And because in the battle, Kurukshetra, I guess, some of the members, like Kritavarma, was on one side, and some of Krishna's family members were on the other side, and they started to criticize each other. And then one of them killed one of them, and then his friends killed the other one, and there was a big battle. And I think, I forget how many, something like 640 million of the Yadavas were killed on the battlefield. And then Baladeva manifested from his mouth and onto Shesha, wrote it back to the spiritual world. And then Krishna had his pastime, which will be in the 11th canto, of preaching to Uddhava and then going back to Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan. So it seemed like it was quite a distressful pastime to get the Yadavas back to the spiritual world. The demigod portion of the Yadavas had to kill each other to get there. So why did the residents of Vrindavan, why were they just transported immediately? Why did they have to kill each other? So Pariksha Maharaj would have thought, well, why didn't Krishna just transport them back immediately? Why did they have to have this ghastly pastime of killing each other? So therefore Shukadeva Goswami didn't tell him this pastime, so it didn't disturb him. Matter of fact, in the Bhagavatam it never mentions how the residents of Vrindavan disappeared. So in one sense, they never disappear, they're still here. You can go to there, and if you have transcendental vision, you could actually go to Gokula now and see the pastimes of Krishna going on there. Has anyone ever gone there to Vrindavan and seen it? Yeah? What did you see there? What's that? Oh, did you see Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda and the cows and the kapha vriksha trees and the palaces and the Keshi demon? And did you see them? Well, one day we can go there and we'll be able to see them. You can even meet King Kansa. Hey Kansa, how are you doing? Met a lot of your friends, they're politicians. And so we can actually do, and Goloka Vrindavan is also going on there. We can also go there and watch the pastimes or participate in the pastimes there too. And when Krishna was here, the demigod, apparently the demigod portions have, were manifest in the external pastimes of Krishna on this planet, and we know along with them there were different devotees who came also. Nitya Siddha devotees, Sadhana Siddhi, Sadhana Siddha, demigod portions, and they all went back to the spiritual world at that time. And therefore, if you go there, you won't see Nanda Maharaj anymore. Except, I think, one devotee, like for instance, I think Sridhar had forgotten to go back. He was still wandering around Vrindavan. And then later on, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, he manifested himself, he became Abhimanyu. I think it was Abhimanyu. He was one of Krishna's friends. He's the one, Saranga Thakur is his name, was also Saranga Thakur. He's the one who had Jai something, a whip. When he used to crack a whip, people would develop Krishna prema. Abhiram Thakur. So Abhiram Thakur was so powerful, he was actually Sridhar in Krishna's pastimes. So when Baladev saw him, because he came from Dwarpa Yuga, he had to take him and bring him back down to size. So he put his hand on his head and squashed him down so he appeared like a normal person for Kali Yuga. That's when you have a spiritual body, you can do that. So he was so powerful that if he'd look at anyone, any rock, except for Shalagram Shila, it immediately cracked to pieces. And if you look at any child, if you pay obeisances to any child or anyone, and if they weren't a pure devotee, they immediately died. So obviously he wasn't the most popular figure around. Especially when he started to look a little humble, everyone got a little afraid. And I think he went to the children of Lord Nityananda and paid obeisances as they died. Except for the super soul. Who was the super soul? There was by Janavi Devi Dasi, had one of her sons was a super soul. What was his name? What's that? Yeah, Virabhadra. So he paid obeisance to Virabhadra. He didn't die, and therefore everyone knew he must have been God. Quite interesting pastimes. Anyhow, he didn't have to go back to the spiritual world. And there's another devotee. If you go to Govardhan, there is one devotee. What was the name of that cowherd boy who's sitting there? And Krishna said, "I'll be right back. I'm just going." And he left to Dwarka, to Mathura, and the cowherd boy just sat there and he's still waiting for Krishna to return in separation. Lodababa, yes, Lodababa. So you can go there and sit with Lodababa waiting for Krishna to come back. He will come back. It'll just take another approximately 3,400,000,000 years, and we'll be, yeah, that's all. That's the night of Brahma. If you multiply by two, it's 6,800,000,000 years he should be back. You just have to be patient. Sit there with Lord Baba for Krishna to come back. Furthermore, Sukadeva Goswami considered, in Sri Vaishnav Toshani, Sanatana Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto, we find the following sequential list of pastimes. First, there was a journey on the occasion of the solar eclipse, that is to Kurukshetra. Then the Rajasuya assembly, then the gambling match, then attempted disrobing of Draupadi, then the Pandavas' exile in the forest, then the killing of Shalva and Dandavakra, and Krishna's visit to Vrindavan, and finally the winding up of the Vrindavan pastimes. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Granthiraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Ananda Swami Ki
Jai.